We appreciate very much that hearing this great prelude from the brass ensemble. And I would like to welcome you today to this chapel session, which is one of three, which we call Student Preaching Week. We had a session yesterday, and then today, and then next Tuesday. And I appreciate your being here. I realize that on this time of the year and on Thursday, we have a lot of students not on campus, and we're working toward finals coming up. We want to call attention, if you will, to the program where a little sketch is given about each of the participants. Those who are participating today in the service are Keith Miller and Danny Jones, and there's a little bit of a detail about who they are and something about their background. Students have been chosen because of doing outstanding work. Most of them have been picked by their peers to represent the preaching classes in this week. And what we want to do in this is not to point out that anybody is such a great preacher so much as to say that preaching is a very important ministry, and that we have this opportunity to allow students to challenge us and to bring God's word to us. This is a worship service. It's not a display of anybody. And we trust that you come to worship. And we know that that's what God intends for us to do and what we want to do in this hour. I want us to bow together for prayer to open our service. Father, we're grateful today for this opportunity again to come and worship. We thank you, Father, for what the two students who are coming today, for Keith and for Doug Miller and for Danny Jones. We thank you, Father, for what they represent from the student body, of the diligence and the earnestness about the preaching ministry. We thank you for all of the students who are completing this semester, who've worked diligently and who've done the best they can to learn and to grow and to be responsible for the work of this term. And we pray your blessings, Father, as some who are coming to graduation go on to full time in the ministry to which you've called them. Thank you for this opportunity, for worship, and for coming to hear what you might have to say through your messenger. We're grateful for it and rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin our session today, we have a special presentation, and I'm going to recognize Dudley Davis, who represents the Student Council, to come and do that.
I want to ask Mike Scarborough if he will make his way to the platform up here. Come on up, Mike. Mike, on behalf of the student council and the student body, I want to make a presentation to you, but first I'd like to read this. It says, Mike Scarborough, in appreciation for your faithful service as Dean of Students, 1989-1992, student body, SEBTS, April 30, 1992. Now, this is the second time within a period of two or three days that we've done this. I just want you to know that we're not going to keep doing this till we get it right. But we do appreciate what you've done, Mike.
Thank you, Dan. On behalf of the students. Thank you, and God bless you. I appreciate this. I hope you'll pray for us as we go elsewhere, and we'll remember you in our prayers. Thank you again.
I think most of us have enjoyed, who have known about it, celebrating with Mike as he anticipates becoming Bishop of Indianapolis. It's wonderful to have a call of God to a field where you've got to depend on God or you're in trouble. And that's where all these fields are. We're going to sing hymn 537, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Would you stand?
If you have your Bibles with you, you may want to turn with me to Psalm 46. And join me as I read from God's Word. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the earth. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Would you pray with me? Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come together to worship you, the true and living God. Help us in this time to be still and know that you are God. Help us to forget a moment those problems that we have, the finals we have coming up, the papers due, the problems, maybe family problems, maybe other problems. Help us focus on you and worship you. We ask you to be with our brother Doug as he brings your word to us this morning. Help him to say things that we need in this hour. Bless this seminary and the things it stands for and the things it's about. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
The tomahawk chop. What Atlanta Brave fan would have ever dreamed a year ago that the tomahawk chop would have created so much controversy and brought so much heat down upon them and offended so many people? After all they were trying to do was enthusiastically support their favorite team. I learned firsthand when you enthusiastically try to support your favorite team, you can often face resistance. I was down in Houston, Texas about 5 years ago, and the St. Louis Cardinals were in town to play the Houston Astros, and I've been a lifelong St. Louis Cardinal fan. So quite naturally, I arranged to take my youth group to the Astrodome to see the game. I put my Cardinal hat on, and we headed off to the Astrodome. We had great seats right behind the Astros dugout. I was surrounded by Astro fans. In the top half of the second inning, Ozzie Smith, the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals, hit a line drive double to right center field. Led by the spirit of the moment, I jumped up and yelled, "Ozzie!" You should have heard the boos and the hisses. And I realized at that moment, if I was going to enthusiastically support my favorite team, I was going to face resistance. Well, friend, the same is true. As you enthusiastically serve and worship your Lord, you will face resistance. And when that resistance comes, when that heat comes, when that pressure comes, the question today is, how will you maintain that faithful enthusiasm for God? We're going to look at three guys who faced a great deal of heat this morning, and they maintained that faithful enthusiasm for God. It's a story that's very familiar to you, found in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll recall from your days in your primary department in Sunday school how King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and placed it in the plain of Dura. And he decreed that everybody in the kingdom of all the languages would bow down when they heard the music. They would bow down and worship the statue. And if not, they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. You all remember that story probably pretty well. But you remember the three Hebrews that decided they would remain faithful to their Lord and that they would not bow down and worship the statue. And you remember how the king called them before him, very furious. He called them before him and he said, "Hey guys, I'll give you one more chance. You can either bow down and worship the statue or you can be thrown into that fiery furnace." And they said, "We will not worship your God. Our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not worship your God." So you can imagine how upset the king became. And he said to his guards, he says, "Tie their arms and their legs and throw them into the fiery furnace. Turn the heat up 7 times hotter than usual and throw them into the fire." And you'll remember how as the guards threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, the flames were so hot that they leaped up and consumed the guards. And we'll pick it up in verse 24 of that third chapter if you'll turn with me. And in verse 24, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Wasn't there 3 men that we tied and threw into the fire?' And they replied, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening in the flaming furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out.' servants of the Most High God, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And now you know the rest of the story, how they did not even have the smell of smoke upon them. Well, there's two things that we can see in this story that God provided for these three Hebrews that enabled them to maintain their enthusiasm even in the midst of the fire. First, he provided for them the opportunity of fellowship among believers. He also provides that fellowship for us today. Most people overlook this fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had fellowship with each other. You see that as insignificant to the story, or you overlook that as part of the story. But from the very beginning, God understood the need for fellowship. As we look at the story of creation, we see how God would create something, then he'd stand back and he'd say, "That is good." Then he'd make something else over here, and he'd stand back and say, "That is good." And then he saw Adam, and he was alone, and he said, "That's not good." So he made woman so that they could have human fellowship. And Paul understood the importance of fellowship as he wrote in Romans, the first chapter, how he longed to have fellowship with the Christians at Rome. And he wrote in verse 12 of that chapter that he would be mutually encouraged by the faith of those Roman Christians. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You know, we have a great opportunity here on this campus. Most of us will never have the kind of opportunity we have ever again in all of our lives after we leave this place, to be surrounded by so many folks that have dedicated their lives to the service of God. It is a great opportunity, and I'm afraid that most of us aren't taking advantage of that opportunity. The opportunity to have Christian fellowship. You say, "Well, Doug, you're not talking to me. I go to Sunday school. I go to church. I even come to chapel every now and then. I never miss a potluck dinner. You're not talking to me. How could one person stand any more fellowship?" Well, friend, you can do all of these things and more and never experience the kind of fellowship I'm talking about this morning. The kind of fellowship I'm talking about is when you take the mask off. When you come openly and honestly with another Christian, another brother or sister in Christ, and share your faith story. I'm talking about times when you may be sitting over there in the snack bar and you have an opportunity to share your faith, your testimony with another believer, where you are, what God's doing in your life. That kind of fellowship, we can be mutually encouraged by that kind of fellowship, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were mutually encouraged by their fellowship. Not only did God provide the opportunity for fellowship, but God also provides His very presence. There's been much debate on who the fourth man was in the fire. The only thing we know for certain is that the king didn't have a clue. First, he thought it was the sons of gods, he says, and then later he thinks it was an angel. He knew it was something supernatural. He knew it was something he never had in his own experience, but he wasn't sure what that fourth man was in the fire. But I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego realized that they were in the presence of God, because who else could deliver them? Who else could deliver them in that manner other than the one true and living God? We are in the presence of God this morning. I don't know if you understand what that means or not. I've heard a lot of folks, a lot of students on this campus this semester tell me, they say, You know, Doug, I feel like the Spirit of God has left this campus. I just feel like because of the controversy and the convention and the problems with accreditation, I just feel like the Spirit of God has left this campus. Friend, aren't you glad we don't base our faith on feelings, but on the Word of God? And in the Word of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And it says in Matthew 18, 20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst." Do you realize that God is present here with us this morning? I don't think you understand what a difference that can make in a person's life. I remember back when I was in Texas a few years ago and I was suffering through a long, hot summer drought. I don't know if you've ever experienced a South Texas drought, but it hadn't rained in 3 or 4 months and it was pretty bad. I lived 16 miles from the closest store. We were out in the sticks. And we often would face brush fires or grass fires. It was almost seemed like an everyday occurrence, but it definitely was an every week occurrence. And in the back of my truck, I would carry around burlap sacks, because if I saw somebody's pasture on fire, field on fire, I'd get out there and start fighting it. I didn't care if it was my fire, whose fire it was. We just got out there. That's the thing we did. We fought fires. Well, one afternoon, I came home, and I saw the field behind my house was on fire. Well, I got on my telephone. I called a few friends, and I called the volunteer fire department, which was 16 miles away. And then I got out, and I started beating that fire with that burlap sack. And I beat that fire, and I beat that fire. And it was 100 degrees in the shade that day. So you can imagine how hot it was fighting that fire. As I continued to fight that fire, I became depressed. A few friends showed up, but we still weren't winning the battle. The wind began to blow toward my house. I felt defeated. I felt alone. Felt discouraged. I was ready to give up. There was no way that I could win. I was getting ready to go move the stuff out of my house. I'd been fighting the fire about 45 minutes, and I was getting ready just to let the fire take my house. And about that time, I looked in the corner of my eye, I saw that pumper truck coming with that volunteer fire chief on it, and I got excited. I knew that I had the ability with that pumper truck, had all the resources that I needed to fight that fire and to win the battle. So did I stop working? No. I continued working even harder. In about 15 minutes, we had gotten the fire under control. Just a few hot spots left. And then I noticed that the fire chief never put any water on the fire. And I went over to talk to him, and I said, why didn't you use your pumper truck? And he says, Doug, I just came from a fire down the road, and I didn't have any water in that fire truck. Just the very presence of that fire truck encouraged me to keep on fighting enthusiastically, and we won the battle. I later asked him, he later went on to tell me that the well at Mr. Phillips' place down the road was dry. It didn't have any water in it. Because of the long drought we'd suffered, it was sucking sand, and he didn't have any water to put in his pumper truck. You know, today we serve a God whose well never will run dry. And friend, even if you feel like he's not pouring his blessings out upon you right now, his very presence should be enough to make you enthusiastically want to serve him and want to worship him. Just his very presence alone should be enough. Well, you say, Doug, all these things you told me this morning are great, but I've heard them all. You haven't said anything new. Very basic, simple sermon that I've heard since my days in the primary department in Sunday school. But how do I apply it to my life? Where do I plug it in? What do I do with it? Do we just come and hear another chapel service and go home and it's not even a topic of conversation at the dinner table? Nothing significant happened here today. You know, most folks on this campus, they didn't think anything significant was going to happen today at chapel, obviously. Did you come expecting something to happen this morning at chapel? Did you come expecting to receive a blessing? Did you come expecting to leave this place and make a difference? Well, the only way that you're going to make a difference is if you plug the Word into your life. And you can do that in the same way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. You can do that by starting to trust God with everything, every area of your life. They did. They said, whether our God delivers us from the fire or not, we'll trust Him. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? That's where you've got to begin. When you have turned everything over to Him and you're trusting Him with all of your life to deliver you, then it opens up that opportunity for true fellowship like I was talking about. That true, genuine Christian fellowship where you can let the mask down and you don't have to be fake and you don't have to be selling yourself, but you can be your open self, your true self with other believers. And you can hug them and love them and they can love you and you can share with them and you can be encouraged by the faith. And in the midst of that kind of fellowship, you're going to become more and more aware of the presence of God. And when you become aware of that kind of presence, how could you keep from being enthusiastically faithful to your Lord? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your very presence and the importance of that presence with us this morning. Father, we just thank you so much again for the fellowship we have and the opportunity we have for fellowship on this campus. Help us to not take that for granted. Lord, help us to go from this place and to plug this message into our lives and leave encouraged that the battle is won because we have your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That reminded her to pray for herself. And whatever her trials and tribulations were, she needs God's peace. She needs God's grace. She said, just look at your fingers and you can learn how to pray real easily. So we need to pray with joyful thanksgiving, one for another. And then in verse 5, he goes on, for your fellowship in the gospel. He's praying with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Praying for, thanking for their fellowship from the time. Maybe what he means is from the time they first became a born-again Christian. And they first began to learn about Jesus. They first began to realize the recipients of God's grace until that very time he was writing that. Maybe that's the kind of thing he was praying for and thanking for. But it also could be he's thanking God from the first time he knew them until right now. Well, that's kind of the same thing as what we were saying, that we just thank God for each one from the time I knew them, although we have to think back what brought them to where they are right now. We have to thank God along the way because somewhere they've known people and circumstances that are a part of them. There's a song. We did a church, an Easter little mini concert kind of thing one year at home. And it was a medley of a lot of familiar songs most of us would know and recognize. Toward the end of it, we were going to sing Because He Lives and do the chorus two or three times over. And because of a circumstance in my life back in the past, that song was very real to me at one time. It still is. But at that time, I needed to know that God holds the future. I needed to know that I knew the one who holds the future. So that song became very important to me. Well, as we were practicing for this concert, I knew all that, and I hardly can ever get through that song because I get kind of teary-eyed thinking back about that, and so I was mentally preparing myself not to let that happen. That, you know, here we were going to be up there in front of the congregation, and I didn't want to go through all that. So I just was thinking all the time. Now, don't really get attached to this song here when it comes time. Okay, I was all set for that. And what we did, we sang through it one time and then went off on some other songs, then came back to it and went through the chorus three or four times. Well, the first time was okay. I made it through that and with no problem. I thought, okay, this is great. No problem here. But one of the songs in between there was a song that goes, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I could offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. I'd heard that before, but that night, I think the real truth of that hit home. Finally, and there again, that was one that we did kind of over and over softly in the background while a guy was doing some talking. And finally, I just had to sit down and get composed, you know. And when I stood back up, the lady next to me just reached over and started rubbing my back real slowly. And with her help and God's help, I got through all that. But the truth of that song is really very real. Now, I don't know what your story is. We all have a story. I don't know what your story is, but I thank God that he has used whatever it is to get you to the point of where you are right now. And I thank God for knowing you from, you know, day one that we met, but also thank him for all that and the fact that, you survived it and got you to be something beautiful. In verse 5, back in verse 3, Paul says he's thanking God, and that's one of the things he's thanking him for, is for the fellowship. That's one of the immediate reasons Paul wants to thank God. In verse 6, Paul goes on, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I don't know about y'all, but that gives me a good feeling to know that the sovereign almighty God loves me that much. There's a preacher down in Mobile, he has a pretty good sized church down there. His name is Fred Wolf. And Brother Fred tells a story about a new pastor on the scene, and he's been there maybe 6 months, and he's noticed this lady that sat down here on this pew every Sunday morning. She was right there. And he got to noticing her and finally decided that she's not really catching all of what we're preaching about here. You know, she doesn't really understand a lot of this service, if any of it. So he decides he's going to go out to visit her and just kind of have a talk with her and get to know her a little bit better. So he goes on out, and he catches her on a summer day, and she's out in the yard there on the porch washing clothes. And I don't know if y'all would remember seeing how they used to wash clothes with a scrub board and a bucket and have the soap, you know, and she's out there just doing this way with those clothes. And he goes up, and he says, good morning, ma'am, how are you today? And they talk a little bit, and finally he says to her, says, do you know what I preached on last Sunday? She says, no, sir. He says, do you know what passage I read from the Bible last Sunday? She says, no, sir. And so he decides to go out on a limb, and he says, well, you're there every Sunday, and you don't understand really what this preaching's all about, do you? She quit her washing. She says, Pastor, you see these clothes here? They don't understand that soap in that bucket down there. But when they go through that soap and water and they get rinsed off, they come out just as clean as they can be. And that's the way your sermons are, Pastor. I don't understand them. But what I know is something's happened to me, and I come out feeling just as clean and fresh as these clothes are. That's the way I feel a lot of times about the love of God. I don't understand that. I really don't. But what I do know is that it makes me feel clean. It makes me feel like I can indeed come before the sovereign God. Back to verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until when? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm convinced that God begun a good work here at this campus back in 19... 19-